Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
The first kick I took was when I hit the ground, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Big wins for Liverpool and Man City and Marseille are shit. It's Wednesday, 4th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Andy Russell.
Hi, gang. Welcome to a wonderful Wednesday we have for you. Oh, my goodness. Jim and Andy are ready to announce that the results are in and Liverpool won 5-0.
They did.
They beat Atalanta away from home.
In a landslide.
You know, I think you're playing a bit of fast and loose here with Jim's temperament.
Yeah.
He's had more coffee this morning, I think, than Pete Donaldson has ever had.
Yeah, and I already drink the most coffee out of anyone I know. So,
it's typical boasting from someone like you. I drink the most coffee than anyone I know. It's the greatest coffee I've ever had.
Yeah. No, I mean,
prove
Jim,
I don't.
We've all been up all night watching Joe Piggott's first ever goal at the New Plough Lane on a loop.
Yes, we have, Andy.
But you've got to draw the line when it gets to 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
well,
you do.
I think you do. I think you do, Andy.
I'm sorry. I'm just showing off.
Yeah. It was a huge win for Liverpool. You've got to hand it to them.
You really do. They were fantastic, weren't they? I mean, a lot has been said about how brilliant Jota has been, but this, like, he stepped it up even from there, because the hat-trick was just so classy. And Atalanta are not a bad side by any stretch of the imagination, but Liverpool made them look absolutely pedestrian. And it was only when they got to 5-0 and they were like, right, we need to save some face here.
There was 35 minutes left.
Yeah, I know. That was only at that point did they look like stemming the tide. Like, if they tried to get more out of it, Liverpool could have scored more.
Yeah, Atalanta definitely got off lightly there.
Oh, it was
beat 5-0 at home and they got off lightly. It's mad.
Yeah, it was
a piss take. Absolute piss take. And Klopp said, you know, this will be the toughest game in the group. You can understand why he said that, of
yes.
course. And then he said after the game, you know, my opinion hasn't changed of them. They're still crap. No, he said that, you know, they're obviously, this is just sort of one of those results. But I mean, I understand Atalanta had, one or two sort of early little moments. And then when Zapata, you know, had a few efforts, you know, perhaps they might have scored, but the game was well gone.
But Reece Williams played him really well. I think that's something that will maybe get overlooked a little bit.
Yes, it's an important thing to say.
In the fact that the front three were so incredibly good. Hmm. And that Curtis Jones is really good. But yeah. Reece Williams had a great game.
Well, Klopp said about Reece Williams, I cannot imagine being 19 years old and playing my second professional game in the Champions League against Zapata. He said, I would have been nervous like hell, but the boy was not. I couldn't be more happy for Reece. You should see him in the dressing room. You'd need something special to get the smile off his face.
Yeah.
Let me just leave it there, Klopp.
But with Reece Williams and Nathaniel Phillips, like, making, you know, huge, huge impressions in the last couple of games, it's just like, it just keeps looking bright for Liverpool, doesn't it?
I know.
It really does.
We haven't seen Liverpool too many times this season, I think it's fair to say, play like that when it's sort of swashbuckling, sort of dominant every time they go forward. They look like they're going to score. And, you know, at least for the most part, they did, Jim. But, you know, Jota filling in for Firmino. I mean, what a job he did.
You've got to be worried if you're Firmino, haven't you, at this point? It was that good.
But, do you think?
Well, because, I mean, obviously Firmino brings so much to the front line.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't... His goals are fewer than Salah's and Mane's, and certainly last season there was that situation where he barely scored at home. If he scored at all, did he get one late in the season? I don't remember exactly, but
he scored against Atletico in the Champions League, didn't he?
Yes, that's right. Anfield, that's right. Yeah. But you've got to be nervously looking at that, thinking, God, if this guy keeps scoring, although I bet he's been scoring from deeper into the midfield as well, isn't he? So maybe, that actually doesn't matter, and Klopp's just shuffling the pack a little bit. But what I really enjoyed about the performance was, as well as it being an amazing team performance, mm-hmm. which it has to be to get a scoreline like that in the Champions League, it was one that was also peppered with amazing individual performances. Like Mo Salah was just absolutely unplayable last night. His goal, like that, how the pace on that, the speed he must have been sprinting at to control the ball as well and just leave the defender for dead like that. It was Hatterbell, wasn't it? Just like you know, he's going to switch it onto his left, but he just didn't have anything for it.
Oh, what it was marvellous, absolutely. Should Diego Jota have been given a curry for his man of the match performance, Andy? If he played for Carlisle United, he would have done. They give a curry to their man of the match. If you look at them on Twitter, there's various pictures of people, and it's in those little sort of tin foil sort of or foil kind of packets, if you like.
Containers that are purposely built for people who don't have any clean crockery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, in the dressing room, he just stood there holding it like that.
I did enjoy those pictures, and it was Toure, wasn't it, who had his, and I think I noted he was holding it rather like Nicola Anelka held his West Brom shirt when he signed for the club.
Well, this?
Yeah.
It was a little bit unimpressed. I remember speaking to a few of the French guys from... Leighton Orient when they were there. Sorry, Leighton Orient when they were there a few years back. And Romain Vancelot, who's still playing in England, has played for various Championship League 1 and League 2 clubs. Mm-hmm. I remember him saying when he played his first game for Dagenham and Redbridge, how they got on the coach after the game and the kit man had a big box of Mars bars and he was passing everyone a Mars bar as the first step in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. He was disgusted.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't even an almond one. Like you get on the continent. It was just a standard Mars bar.
You get an almond Mars bar on the
continent. Yeah.
My giddy aunt.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the...
You're feeling even better about having voted for Brexit now, aren't you, Marcus?
Find me a travel corridor.
As well as all of the curries being given out by Carlisle, this was posted on our Twitter, and somebody also responded with a picture of Connor Salmon having been presented a pizza and looking just, I think, completely reasonably furious with that.
Uh-huh.
The pizza must have been terrified.
Any sort of...
Bearing in mind that your role in life in pizza is to be eaten.
Yeah.
I mean, to be eaten by that man at that moment.
Yeah, but these are better post-match sort of man of the match gifts than a bottle of champagne, is it not?
Do you remember?
You can see it off straight away because your body, you tear through those calories, Andy.
Do you remember Freddie Flintoff in a one-dayer for England in India being given a motorbike as man of the match?
No.
And going on a little ride around the outfield.
Wow. Is that right?
Yeah.
See, that's cool. Like, why? Just make it opulent. Make it like Bullseye. You win like a speedboat for the man of the match.
I mean, a motorbike.
Or a microwave. Or a holiday. Well,
there was,
in Regis,
there was
two.
A CD player given once to a player back in the 90s who maybe was not a drinker or something like that. And it was there you go. That's, you know.
Carl Leeburn won a telly from Rumbelows when it was the Rumbelows Cup. And he had to go to Rumbelows in Charlton or Woolwich. Some bloke gave it to him. And he had to wheel it and put it in the back of his own car. It wasn't even done for him.
A man of the match gift, though, it shouldn't be a little bit, not a burden for giving a free TV, but you shouldn't have to go and do that, if you see what I mean.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Mm. Book vouchers.
Yeah, I mean.
Choose your own thing.
To spoil the party and drag it back to your point, I don't think Liverpool players are getting these sort of things as for their man of the match performances.
It's very true. But Jota was worthy of his man of the match because the first goal was beautiful.
Get him a jetpack or something by that logic.
The second goal was delightful as well. I mean, he's taken it to like a duck to water, really, at Liverpool. And he's not started too many games. You wouldn't have expected him to. But, I mean, he got a goal on the weekend as well, which was a crucial one.
I mean, it's four games in a row, isn't it, for Liverpool that he scored?
Yeah, and I think he's scored in his first three home games, didn't he? And I think the point that Jim made about his versatility is a very good one. The fact that he said, I'm at the disposition of the team in any way, whether I'm a forward, whether I'm a midfielder, whether I'm a substitute. And I don't think it is just about him maybe squeezing Firmino out. Although, because that was such an authoritative performance, not just by him, but by the whole of the front three, it is easy to think, you know, could this be a permanent change? But Jota has been brilliant so far, not just because he's filled so many different roles, but because what he's done, I think Jonathan Liu wrote in The Guardian today, he's quite economical in what he does, in his movements, his shots. There's nothing flash, there's nothing gaudy about him.
Nothing
he's
vicious.
Very, very... he's very efficient, and I think that's super important. But I also think that you've got to bear in mind the way that Atalanta play, which is very offensive. And you've got to bear in mind the fact that there are more and more thrashings in the Champions League these days because teams will chase a deficit. And that's what happened to them, or one of the things that happened to them.
They like to play an open, expansive game, and against Liverpool, it's like a hot knife through butter.
Yeah, and Atalanta have defended quite badly throughout the opening weeks of this season. I think going into this game, though, they were in the bottom six in terms of goals conceded. They conceded like 13 in 6 in Serie A so far. So
yeah, whereas Liverpool haven't conceded a goal in Group D yet.
Yeah,
it's been very impressive.
More like a lightsaber through jelly, wasn't it?
That's a bit better. One of the men who was wielding that lightsaber was Mo Salah, of course, now joint highest Champions League goal scorer / European Cup scorer in Liverpool's history with Steven Gerrard.
That's amazing.
Isn't that good?
To hit that so quickly,
I know.
Incredible.
It's not too shabby, is it? Considering the pedigree they've had in European competition as well. I know Champions League games, there's a lot more of them than there was in the European Cup era.
Yeah.
But still, it's a magnificent feat from the Egyptian. In the group, Ajax beat Midtjylland, which not too surprising, 2-1. Earlier in the day, though, there was a delightful photograph involving Edwin van der Sar and Peter Schmeichel, who bumped into each other like shopping in the city. Because obviously van der Sar's, works with Ajax, and Schmeichel, I think, was punditing on the game. But isn't that lovely?
Nice. Sort of goalkeepers' union.
Manchester United goalkeepers' union. Yeah. Although if I was Edwin van der Sar, I'd say, well, you play for Man City, mate.
Yeah.
You know,
you should have come to Fulham.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm more of a purist than you. Yeah. I never played for another English club after this.
Edwin van der Sar playing for Fulham, I just love it so much. You forget it, don't you?
Yeah.
How did they pull that off?
And Dimitar Berbatov's another
one. Yeah.
But not quite the same, I admit. But yeah, he got his career back on track at Fulham. Because at Juventus, it wasn't going there quite right, Andy.
No, it's tough.
Yeah, so all those trophies at Manchester United, again, they sort of lead back to Fulham. Staying in Manchester, gentlemen, Manchester City beat Olympiacos 3-0. Another goal for Ferran Torres, who scored in four consecutive Champions League games. He's decent, Andy. He's one of those signings that I don't think... And I'm basing this on my own experience, so forgive me, football fans, if I'm putting you in the same boat as me, but it is a jolly old chip. Torres, he's like a... He's sort of, he's got a bit of quality and you know he's at Manchester City, but I haven't seen him that many times. And then he pops up with this and you think, oh, right, yeah, I'm sort of, I haven't noticed him that much, but when you do, he's there. But he's not one of their sort of blockbuster players, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, and I think as well, you look at the value involved in bringing him in. I think there was a sense that, of course, he was a player that they wanted, but it was an opportunity, as we said, I think, on here before, rather than a planned signing, because of his contractual situation at Valencia, because of the price, because they're flogging everyone. All of those sort of things came into play. And you did think, well, for the future, because he's not had an easy season last season. And I think in terms of the talent he's got, he should be further ahead. He should have been further ahead than he was when he arrived at Manchester City. So, you know, I think it was quite reasonable not to expect him to walk into the team. But if you're in that sort of situation, this is maybe the best possible season to be thrown into a big club as a young player.
Oh, yeah.
I guess you could say about Jota to a certain extent. You know, you need to shuffle. Coaches need to shuffle more than ever before. Of course, they're very stretched with injury at the moment because Gabriel Jesus only just coming back. Aguero's out at the moment. And, of course, Pep Guardiola is never going to say, oh, we haven't got any proper strikers. He's going to stick a winger in there, isn't he?
Yeah.
So that's worked very well for him. But, you know, coming from the chaos that is Valencia to playing with Manchester City, playing well, particularly as they have been in the last two Champions League games, or last two and a half Champions League games, I mean, it must be like an incredible feeling.
Mm. Yeah, especially like to begin with such a baptism of fire, to be played out of position as the focal point of the team and to thrive, that is really, really impressive from him. So, I mean, it almost like that gives him a head start on settling in and becoming an important part of the team, because, you know, if you didn't know otherwise, you'd think he was a striker.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you would. He scored a lovely little flick, didn't he? I always call it a Del Piero flick. And I once said that to Danny Welbeck when I was interviewing him, when I said, oh, you scored a Del Piero flick against Sweden, Jim, when we were there in Kiev, of course. And he went, no, that was a Welbeck flick.
Yeah.
And I said, of course it was, Danny.
Yeah. We celebrated that one twice, didn't we?
We did.
Once when it went in, the second time when we saw the replay and realised he meant it.
Manchester City were, I mean, you know, comfortable in the end, 3-0, but there were shaky moments, especially that sort of reluctance to just lump it out when there's a bit of trouble, Jim. And you sort of think to yourself, oh, lads, come on. No one's going to think bad of you. Your status of the ultimate football pervert will not be corrupted if Edison just puts his foot through that. And whacks it into the opposition's
absolutely
half.
Yeah, Valbuena had a chance to score as well, didn't he?
That was after that playing it about the back, wasn't it? Because having been at Wimbledon last night, I was watching the extended highlights. I was watching the extended highlights, and they showed them playing it about the back, and even though you know what the result is, you're still going, what are you doing?
I know.
What are you doing? And then when Valbuena hits it wide and then holds his knee.
Mm.
And I think if you saw that clip isolated and you didn't know anything about Mathieu Valbuena, you'd think, oh no, he's seriously hurt himself there. He looks in absolute agony. And I thought, next clip, he's going to be running around like a spring chicken. And he was.
He certainly
back
was.
In his old number 10 position.
Lovely old. It's nice to see him again. It was nice to see John Stones as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was nice to see old John. So Manchester City, like I say, ended up 3-0, Andy. Great goal from Gabriel Jesus to kind of,
oh, amazing,
kill it off. Mm-hmm. Ian Dark on the comms said it was, what did he say? It was close to sensational or near sensational. What would it have been? Did it need to kiss the bar as it went into being sensational?
I love Ian Dark, but that is, he could have let himself go. He didn't have to do the conditional at the beginning. Well,
how do you take that as a striker?
That was near sensational. How near?
What do you mean?
Yeah. Right. Well, what do you think, Ian Dark? What does it need to be sensational for Ian Dark, Andy?
Boxing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe if it had been on the volley. So he'd gone the full Van Basten.
Or the US scoring a late goal in a World Cup. He does enjoy that, as we know, that memorable piece of commentary.
Yeah, what I particularly like about Gabriel Jesus is he always, despite the fact he's been at Manchester City for a while and he's, you know, established himself to a certain degree now, always calls his mum after he scores a goal.
Oh, well, not immediately after.
No, that little
celebration. Is that who he's calling?
I wondered who he's phoning.
And you watch his lips and he's going, hello, mate. He's saying, hello, mum.
Oh, I didn't realise. That's lovely, that. Is that what Griezmann does as well with that? Is he phoning Gabriel Jesus' mum?
Griezmann's because he does both, isn't it? It's more like the Budweiser advert, the old WhatsApp one.
Maybe he's phoning mum and dad.
Maybe he's phoning Gabriel Jesus' mum.
Yeah, that's true.
Again, if I didn't know anything about Drake, I would have thought it was a sort of Wolf of Wall Street sort of tribute. Like, buy, buy, sell, sell.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, that's a lovely celebration from Jesus.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I want him to score more near sensational and some sensational goals, Gabriel, if you're listening.
And even just the odd crap goal. Yeah. Such a thing.
If you're a number nine, you're obliged.
Yeah. Indeed you are. Indeed you are. Well, of course, Manchester City play Liverpool on the weekend. So they'll take a little bit of momentum from this game, Andy, you would think. You know,
Guardiola's even offered them a day off, hasn't he?
Well, he did. He sounded quite pleased. He said, now is the time to enjoy tonight, 9 points, and then tomorrow we recover. I'm delighted with the situation we have, and there is sunshine forecast in Manchester for the next few days.
To me, if I was playing under Pep Guardiola and he said that, I'd feel like this is a test. Do you know what I mean? I've got to be practicing triangles around the house or something. Like, I've got, like,
so is he going to go around like the shopping centres and stuff and go, oh, hi, Pep, just taking my day off?
With a fake wig. Ball fraud that he is, obviously. Etc.
Oh, dearie me. Yes. Well, in the same group, Porto beat Marseille 3-0. 12 consecutive Champions League defeats for Marseille. A wry smile on the beautiful face of Andy Brassel, who, of course, is a Lyon lovey. Andy, what do you think of this?
I think it would be better if they actually, you know, got some wins and did a bit of hard work for France's coefficient points.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's beyond Marseille.
Well, Andre Villas-Boas was very down after the game. It doesn't sound that there's going to be any wins, by the way, in the Champions League this season, when Villas-Boas says, in order to be shit in the Champions League, you have to at least qualify for the Champions League. We did it, and we are being shit.
It's weird, that, isn't it? Because it sounds like he's making a point about something, but also he kind of isn't.
Yeah, you sort of think, you remember when Warnock, Neil Warnock, yeah, let's mention him in the Champions League chat, was in charge, was it QPR? He was in charge of it. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah. And
he
said, you would drive yourself mad trying to remember.
Yeah, indeed. It could be a number of non-Big Six clubs. And they got beat 4-1 or 4-0, something like that, on their opening day of the Premier League season, and all the players are a bit down. And he walks in and goes, oh, isn't it great, lads? Isn't it great to be beaten 4-0 in Premier League than having to win 2-1 in the Championship or something like that, you know? So in other words, just trying to G them up, going, come on, we're here. And I thought Villas-Boas may have been trying to do that. But clearly not, as he went on to say, what can we do now? It's up to us. It's on Marseille what happened to this shit.
Inspiring words from the boss. Unbelievable. You'd follow the mister into battle with a speech like that, wouldn't you?
Jesus. Oh, I'd walk across a desert for him. It can't get any better than this, Andy. It just can't.
Yes.
David Moyes of Ligue 1 currently.
It's a particular situation as well, because Porto is his home, his place as well. And he's already said that he plans to make a run for Porto president, like maybe even soon, maybe even after Pinto da Costa.
Are they still counting the votes on that as well?
Yeah. So, I mean, he did, when he landed, his first comment was, ah, oh, the fog is part of what makes this city magnificent.
Oh.
Wow. And presumably that's getting an excuse early for the team as
what's
well.
What's the river that goes through Porto?
Douro.
Fog and the Douro's all no. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a quick break.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
WrestleMe is a show where two men watch every WrestleMania from 1 to 37, unpicking the multicoloured threads that tie it all together.
I think it's slightly something to do with the fact that Americans don't really like cell phones, do they? Right. I think they've all got basic ones, basically.
That's a big shout.
It is a big shout, but I mean, there is something funny about it, like text messaging never took off in the States.
What? Come on now.
Never been big.
Whether you're a lapsed fan or someone who doesn't give a flying laureate about it, there's something for everyone.
If you can get a crowd to boo you for kicking a fabulous ladder.
Fabulous ladder.
And the crowd are booing.
Yeah. Get off that lovely ladder we've just learned about.
It's a beautiful polysexual ladder.
It's a beautiful Herne-Bear shabby chic creation.
If you climb up to it, ecstasy can be found at the top.
Listen via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your pods.
Wrestle Me is a Staccano production.
Chami, can you pass it one touch? Then why don't you do it? Listen!
Still angry, Thierry Henry, isn't he? Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Oh my goodness, what does this button do? That's right, everybody. Get in touch with us, show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble.
You know what amuses me most about that jingle as we hear it more and more?
Your name's in it?
Is that, well, yeah, that I think Pete drove himself mad for a bit, as we mentioned, thinking, either accidentally leaving me out or thinking that he'd left me out. But the brilliant thing is, I never even have to read the emails. So
yeah,
he could have left me out.
Yeah, but yeah, you're poised though, Andy. You're kind of you're there if you're needed for an email.
Right.
So there may be a time when you do read one out. And that's, Pete's a very forward-thinking man.
Okay, that's a bit too much pressure, Marcus. Can we move on?
This is from Kieran on Twitter. Hey, Ramblers, I'm just listening to today's show. Ooh, he's quick, isn't he? I think he means yesterday's. And I can confirm the story about St. Patrick's Athletic fans not being able to stay in the only hotel in their game against Iceland. I'm not even going to try to pronounce how that island is pronounced.
Vestmannaeyjar.
Well done. You see, you've contributed to the reading of an email, and I set you up
on the hardest bit.
Yeah, indeed. And that's why you're in the jingle, Andy.
I'm exhausted. Can I go home now?
You can. Yes, of course, we spoke about this, for those who didn't hear it, when St Patrick Athletic went to a Europa League preliminary match, I think it was, in Iceland. It was on an island off the main coast, and there was only one hotel on that island, and some of the fans had booked rooms in that hotel, and the team were like, well, we need that hotel, so can you chip off and find somewhere else to stay, essentially.
Where did they go?
Well,
I guess we'll find out.
The email goes on. I went to the game to support the Saints with four mates, and we stayed with a lovely Icelandic family for the night. Vestmannaeyjar is an island, so the following morning we travelled back to the mainland on the same boat as the UEFA delegate and match officials, who took the friendly stick they got quite well.
I mean, that's quite telling in itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw some UEFA delegates, abused them. Everyone had a lovely time.
Well, he does say friendly stick.
Yeah, you know, fair enough.
That's great,
best,
isn't it?
Stick.
Oh, okay, marvellous stuff there. Well, we very much appreciate that, Kieran.
Mm. Well, this one, we've got another email that's come all the way from Auckland in New Zealand. So, g'day, Ramblers. Ali from Auckland, New Zealand here. Back in 2014, I was working as an intern for the Wellington Phoenix, New Zealand's only professional football team, when both Newcastle United and West Ham both came to NZ for a couple of pre-season friendlies. As part of this tour, we got what we thought were free tickets to go and watch the NZ Breakers, professional NZ basketball team, play. As we were walking in, I was handed a huge canvas bag and told to carry it in. I did as I was told and then was instructed to put it in one of the dressing rooms. As I walked in, I was instructed to get ready as I'm on in five. Confused, I asked, ready for what? They said, get in the outfit and we'll see you outside shortly.
Get in the outfit.
I opened the canvas bag and I was instantly filled with dread. It was a Nixie's mascot outfit. Nixie is the Wellington Phoenix mascot, who is a phoenix bird, which is essentially a chicken on fire. I got in the suit and couldn't see a thing. I was then shoved out into the arena and proceeded to pose the wrong way in photos with children, attempt a half-court shot which almost hit the cheerleaders and knocked people and things over constantly. I cannot stress enough how little I could see. Ali, that is absolutely fantastic. I'm sorry that happened to you, but I can relate to that because I was in H&M once and somebody asked me, they were trying to colour match something, thinking I worked there, and rather than explain, I just helped them. I just sort of like, I just helped them do what they needed. Like, so I just gave H&M some free work. Mm-hmm. And I would have probably done the same thing rather than just go, hang on, no, I'm not your mascot.
You can, I like how you interpret it as I gave them some free work.
I need to invoice them, actually. If you work for H&M, get in touch. That should be on you.
How much do you think you should be paid for that?
I work for probably about a minute and a half. Yeah. So I don't know. Probably, I don't know.
Well, Carlisle United terms, that's what, like half a poppadom or something?
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe a singular bit of chicken. Who knows?
A little cube of chicken, Jim. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for your emails. Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vince, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, or Marcus can read it out. Well done. We now move on to a special section of the show, which I've dubbed People Sticking the Boot into Barcelona.
I'm surprised that this has happened and that this has become such a regular thing, but here we are.
Here we are indeed. The great Wacken recently said, I wouldn't take Koeman, not even as a kit man. There is no better time to face Barcelona than now.
Yeah. He's a funny one, Wacken, isn't he?
He is.
Like, he's, you know, obviously, you know, as people who don't speak Spanish, two of us in the room anyway, we kind of miss a lot of what Joaquin's known for, but he's known for being a real, real joker, isn't he? And just like coming out of all kinds of mad stuff. Like, so I don't know how true this is, but I remember this bit from an interview with him, from an article I read about Joaquin, which I'm just going to read it as it was written. One of nine kids, he attributed his strengths to being breastfed until the age of six.
Correct.
And it wasn't just that he said so, it was that he recalled football matches in the plaza where while the other kids would head to the water fountain for a drink, he would head straight for his mum. Now that can't be true, can it? But like, this is the sort of thing Joaquin is happy to put out about himself.
And people talk about Messi and growth hormones.
Yeah.
I mean, it's extraordinary, really.
Andy, he never played in France, though, because that would suggest he was at the Brest Academy. but there we are. Because Bessis play Barcelona this weekend.
Yeah, and Joaquin is still excellent, by the way.
Oh, how is he? 39?
39.
He's still quick, because that was such a big part of his game.
Yeah, he's quick, he's strong, there's so much about him. But he's got an all-round game as well. But the relationship between him and Koeman, of course, Koeman was his coach at Valencia in what was, you know, when people who watch Spanish football saw Koeman coming over for the Barcelona job, a lot of people thought, well, he's taking on a lot there. Whereas people who watch Spanish football for years and years and years probably thought, well, can it be any worse than when he was in charge of Valencia? It's weird. You look down and it's like, well, he won a cup there.
He did win a cup, but he got sacked as well, though.
Yeah, I mean, the league form was dreadful and it was kind of a legacy cup win, a bit like Roberto Mancini at Fiorentina, if you like. But he also said on Saturday when he was talking about Koeman, when Betis are going to play them, he said, when I see Koeman, he won't say hello to me and I won't say hello to him.
See, if I was Koeman, I'd go straight up to him. Hug him. Oh, no, you can't hug. As in, like, elbow bump or whatever we need to do.
Some sort of over-familiarity is what you're talking about.
Exactly. Well, other people sticking the boot into Barcelona. Luchescu, the Dynamo Kiev manager, he was talking them down, and they're playing them tonight at the Nou Camp. I mean,
with a load of players out with coronavirus.
Yeah, I was a bit like, oh, mate, what are you playing at? But he was saying, I mean, was he sticking? Yeah, he was saying that they're not going to win the Champions League on their current form. This is, you know, they've got some great players, but they need to work out how to use the mechanisms or something.
Well, he said some more fundamental stuff than that. He said they're not quick enough. They've got some problems with pace, was the way you put it.
Yeah.
Like, you watch the Bayern match too.
Is that going to bite him on the arse?
For me, that feels like Koeman just putting Ousmane Dembele straight in. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You've got no pace, have we?
Yeah, exactly. Your favourite and mine, Andy, Jorge Jesus, was also having a little dig at Barcelona.
Well, last week after they beat Standard Liège and played very well.
Benfica, this is.
Yeah, it was put to him that that they were quite reminiscent Benfica of Barcelona. He said, not current Barcelona, I hope. I don't want anyone comparing Benfica to current Barcelona.
George.
He said, if you're comparing us to Pep Guardiola era Barcelona, I will accept that, but not current Barcelona.
Honestly, people are lining up to have the digs.
Yeah.
What do you think? How are they going to respond? How's Koeman going to respond? I mean, there's a man with an ego that can trump anyone.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Suarez, of course.
Oh, yeah, he had a dig. That's to be expected.
It's an ongoing dig, though, isn't it? The thing is, they've made an enemy of Suarez. Did you see what he said? It was a little while ago now, but he said, in terms of when Atletico play them, he said, if I scored against Barcelona, I would not yell or go crazy, but I surely would point somewhere. I love that, like a cowboy. I surely would.
Oh, no, is he not pointing to who he said?
Yeah. He was basically talking about he's going to point at who he blames for, like, his exit. Imagine that.
Yeah, be easier now, of course, there's less people.
Well, exactly.
And Kike Setien's nice and relieved. He's like, oh, I'm not even there anymore.
Yeah. I feel good. He'll find a way.
Just point down
the camera.
Yeah.
You know who you are.
Oh, by the way, talking to Suarez, did you see that he was booked last night against Lokomotiv Moscow after there was a VAR call for Lokomotiv for a penalty decision, I think it was.
Yep. Yeah.
And Luis Suarez was having a little sneaky peek at the VAR at the replay.
I mean, it was inevitable that a player was going to be booked for this. And it was also...
Yes. This is the thing with Suarez, isn't it? He is one of the great shithouses of all time. You can put any type of new technology or any type of new scenario in front of him and he will adapt to it. I'm going to point out the person who wronged me at Barcelona. There's new technology. I'm going to find a way to get booked because of it. I think he is one of the great shithouses of human history. Yeah. He transcends sport. I mean, we're talking John Dillinger, who once broke out of a local jail and deliberately went out of his way to steal the car of the sheriff who arrested him to use as a getaway car. Deliberately made his task harder to do that. We're talking C.L. Blood, a con man who once sold people oxygenized air as a cure-all. Oxygenized air. He was taking the piss out of these people to their faces. Suarez is up there with these historic monsters. It is incredible.
What do you think he's going to do in the international break? Count votes in Pennsylvania.
Hey! Oh, dearie me. I love that, because the referee's assistant had to run over and, like, basically usher him away. And then it all... But I love to think that Suarez just stood there going... I don't think he did touch him. You know, the referee's going, this is not a discussion that you and I have. You know, so,
it was his own foul, wasn't it?
Was it his own foul?
I think it was, yeah.
I guess the intelligent running of Suarez is what took the fourth official out of play. Because the fourth official is basically meant to shield the monitor from the
intelligent
from the
running.
Yes.
There we are. And Joao Felix should have ran in and actually had a good look at the VAR. That is what you're saying. The decoy run from Suarez and somebody gets
exactly.
Oh my goodness! Well, gentlemen, tonight we've got a big game. Manchester United playing Bazak Shahir, and Manchester United their form in the Premier League has differed from their form in the Champions League somewhat.
Man United Champions League edition is fantastic.
Yeah, but as Vish said not that long ago on the podcast, similar under David Moyes. That Moyes, you know, was getting a bit of a tune out of them until they obviously played a decent Bayern Munich side. What do we expect from this one? I mean, more of the same, Andy? A comfortable Champions League victory?
You know what? We'll have to wait and see, because Bazak Shahir greatly improved, actually, over the last little while. We spoke before about how they had a dreadful start to their league campaign. As defending champions, if you lose your first three games of the season and two of those against newly promoted side, that is going some. But they've got it together in recent weeks. They won again at the weekend at Konyaspor. I thought they were really good against Paris Saint-Germain, and the goal changed it, really. Mm. Now, it's interesting. If you look at the PSG game, the difference between that and Manchester United, I think, is the fact. Not that Manchester United are a long way in front of Paris Saint-Germain at the moment, because I don't think that's the case. But Bajic Shahir had the ultimate coach in Demba Ba, who is the self-declared biggest Paris Saint-Germain fan in the world and watches all their games and coached the team through some of the prep.
So we finally found a diehard PSG supporter, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what you need, or what Bajic Shahir need, is a Manchester United equivalent, really.
Well, they could have former Man United right-back Raphael playing.
He is quite a big United fan.
Yeah. Mm.
But, I mean, his commitment, rather than to preparation, is to extremely late tackles, isn't it?
Yes.
It's one of the many things that makes him... He's so popular, isn't he, amongst former supporters of his former clubs. He's loved at Lyon, despite being an absolute loose cannon. Same at Manchester United.
But do you think it's the fact that he looks like he's trying really, really hard?
Oh, yeah. He plays football like any of us would at the top level if we had talent.
But do you, I mean, perhaps
sorry,
that's
Marcus,
such a dig.
Marcus has accepted.
No. I just if Raphael heard that, he'd be like, cheers.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
I think that's quite a nice thing to say, isn't it? Like a fan would play.
Oh, I see what you... I thought you meant he was just crap.
No, he's got the talent. We haven't got the talent.
Yeah, okay, sorry, I misunderstood. Yeah, so he's playing.
Me and Jim don't have the talent.
No, Andy, come on, I wasn't saying that.
I'll tell you what, if you got picked for Bajic Shahir, you would be one of the youngest players in the team.
I would be...
It's not too late, Marcus. It's not too late.
It's never too late.
If he runs around giving away sort of set pieces and things, they'll be delighted with that, won't they?
Yeah.
I think, you know...
Raphael plays with enthusiasm like a fan would do if he got to that level.
Yeah, what a fan would do if he'd eaten 7 bags of Moam and drunk as much coffee as Jim before he went on the pitch.
Right, I'm with you now. Yes.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, it's an interesting one for Man United, isn't it? Because the narrative seems to ebb and flow with them based on whether they're playing in the Premier League or playing in Europe. Mm. And it's almost like the Champions League's a little holiday. I can just imagine Solskjaer before the game going, "We're Manchester United. You know, this is what we do. This is where we belong." Because that seems to be his reaction to everything, doesn't it? If they win, it's like, "We're Manchester United."
Yeah.
And if they lose, it's like, "We're Manchester United." It's like... I think you need a bit more than this.
Yeah. Well, of course, they are away in Turkey, so a slight holiday vibe, Jim, I don't know. But I know one or two of their players were mentioned that, you know, the Turkish crowd's going to be quite hostile, so it does go in their favour that there's no fans in the stadium.
Well, I mean, that would be the same playing Bajiksehir at any time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
And I suppose it's quite a new side.
And, of course, and of course the fact that Bajiksehir isn't in Istanbul proper. So that maybe makes a bit of a difference. The other thing I suppose you would say in that situation is Bajic Shahir are perfectly tailored to play in the current conditions, really, because, you know, I wonder if they would have sold this game out even if we'd have been full on for fans. But, you know, they've got lots of experienced players, but Manchester United, as Jim said, in the Champions League, something a bit extra. You do feel they can play with that a little bit more freedom. I think what we're talking about the how you can cash in playing on the counter-attack in Europe, I think is something that really plays to Manchester United's strengths as well.
Yeah, I mean, that does seem to be plan A through Z, doesn't it?
Mm.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, of course, has been in charge of 100 games for Manchester United now. And they've won 55 of them, drawn 21 and lost 24. Now, the impressive opening run that he had, of course, you know, helps with that tally of 55, but it's still on his record.
Yeah.
I mean, some were saying that he's actually had a better opening 100, first 100 games for Manchester United than, say, Klopp had at Liverpool.
Mm. There are starting points, though, right?
So basically what I'm going to ask you, Andy, is can you see Manchester United winning the Champions League and running away with the Premier League anytime soon?
Well, like, to quote Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, this is Manchester United, and that is what should be expected, right? That's what they're aiming at. And I mean, the fact that you can ask that question with a little glint in your eye as a joke is so telling. Because of, you know, surely nobody expects them to
In terms of the Champions League, if someone else knocked out Bayern, why not?
I know what you mean. I think the Champions League is more up for grabs than people think.
But it's super open.
But do you think Solskjaer's got the tactical, you know, nous to take on, you know, even someone just below the level of a Bayern?
What, like Barcelona? Because we've heard about them, haven't we?
Yeah, we've heard all about them.
Yeah, they're not just below the level of Bayern
either.
They're
a joke. What about Real Madrid? Sergio Ramos is going to win it on his own. 100 goals for Real Madrid he's now got.
Absurd.
I really like the idea of Sergio Ramos as Manchester United player manager, actually.
I think we all like that, Andy. I think we all like that a lot. Chelsea play Rennes, of course, tonight as well. So that should be an interesting affair. Before we go, Andy, come on. AFC Wimbledon. You were back in Plough Lane last night. Sadly, they didn't win the game. It was a late equaliser that Doncaster Rovers scored. Yes. But I'm sure that didn't take away the shine from what was a historical evening.
No, it didn't at all. And it felt quite surreal. I think it will take a couple of weeks, stroke months, to sink in. Mm. Obviously, there's a degree of sadness that not everyone was there, because then it would have been absolutely fantastic. But seeing actual football in an actual stadium at Plough Lane was pretty epochal.
Epochal. Have a little read around that, ladies and gentlemen. As I say, because there is still romance in English football. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm back tomorrow, back once again, with Andy and Pete Donaldson. So look forward to that. Thank you very much, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
You're welcome.
Thank you, listeners. See you tomorrow.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.